Welcome back to episode 12 of the Camera Shack Podcast. I'm your host, Logan. And today we are going to bore you to death by talking about taking black and white film photography at the United States Air Force Museum. So on the last episode, in case you missed it, whew, it was a great episode. I purchased a Canon AE-1. It is a 35mm film camera. Now, I have a plan. It's been 4 months and I have yet to execute it. But I wanted to take, I want to take photos at the United States Air Force Museum. It's a colored film. It is called CineStill. ISO 800 film, and basically they CineStill, the company I guess who makes it, they decided to take film that was originally meant for movie cameras, film movie cameras, and basically blast away like a layer on it, that I guess makes, like, protects it, like, from light somehow, and then add a new layer of stuff on it so that you can develop that film using the standard film development process, which I think is called C41. And so when you do that, all your photos, they're in color, but they look like they were shot, like they were like a still taken from like a film movie, with the exception that all any harsh points of light have like a bold red halation around the light. So basically the bulk of the light is red. Which is due to them removing that special layer of film or special layer of chemicals or something on it. So my plan basically I purchased a a lens filter that you put in the front of your camera lens. I can't remember the name of it, of course. This is getting classic. It is a 1/4? Maybe it's a 1/8. I'm gonna look right now instead of guessing. Okay, page 2. Sorry for the delay here. Now, of course, as I promised on, I think, episode 1, this is a no-cut podcast. This is a no-effort podcast, so... there is no cuts here. Just like Miyamoto, this podcast has zero cuts. Here we go. No, that's not it. Sorry. Next page. Keep going. Okay, well, apparently this was more than 3 months ago. We'll keep trying. Maybe we'll get page 5. Unless I remember as I'm looking for it. Here we go. A 1/4... Pro Mist, that's the word I was looking for. Pro Mist 1/4 filter. It's a 72mm, in case you're wondering. And I bought this July the 15th. It's now October 21st. So that's how long I've been trying to do this. And basically, if you're not familiar with a Pro Mist filter, it basically, you could say, like, mists, I guess, like it fogs up kind of the footage, so it makes it look more, I don't know about dreamy, more smooth maybe. I guess you'll have to look up your own information, but basically it makes harsh light, the bokeh, I guess, from harsh lights more smooth, kind of. Anyways, there's a lot of really harsh lights at the Air Force Museum. So the idea was to use a 1/4 Pro Mist filter with CineStill and go around and take photos. Now, there is a huge flaw in this plan, which is the Air Force Museum is like basically pitch black. Not really, but pretty much pitch black. Especially in some of the, like, some of the hangars are okay. Some of the hangars are not okay. So I wanted to do a test roll before actually using the CineStill. So the problem with the CineStill is it's colored, right? So you can't just you develop it the way you develop black and white. So it takes like 15 minutes to develop black and white film. Hold on, I got an email notification. Oh, what? People are texting me. People are emailing me. This fool has emailed me an email, but they're too late. I don't know why I'm reading this email. This is just this podcast, you know. We just do some admin around here. Max, don't get viruses. This person has submitted a call for paper response for our event, B-Sides Dayton, that we're putting on. So this person will be ever forever memorialized in this podcast about Max can't get viruses and why this is basically a lie. They are traveling from Kentucky. Wow. Well, technically, I believe they're within the deadline. But we sent out the survey, let's see, October the 21st. What day? Technically, they're within the deadline, but everyone's already kind of, most people have already voted for which paper they want to do, or which paper they want to do, which I did this afternoon. So I guess he's just kind of out of luck. Don't know what to tell you. Anyways, we should get back to photography. We're not here to talk about Max not getting viruses, you know? I wanted to do some test photos to see how it would look, because I was worried that maybe because it's so dark, right, I'll have to set the shutter to like seconds in order to get a photo that's properly exposed. I was worried that maybe like I'd have set way to like a shutter space that's beyond the scope of the shutter, right? Because it only goes up to 2 seconds. After that is bulb. So you have to like push the button in and hope for the best, or use a shutter release. And so I'm gonna put this my phone, sorry, on silent. Problem solved. Nice. You know where I was? That's right. I can't hear you. No. Yeah, so I just wanted to do some tests with black and white just to see how it would turn out. Also, I wanted to do some panoramic tests to see how it would look doing a panorama. Because some of the stuff is quite wide. So I guess that's more of that story. Anyways, I used two rolls of black and white. Ilford 400, of course. I'm almost certain, I pushed this to 800. Which was a pain because it takes like normally it takes, I think, 6.5 minutes to develop it, ILFR 400 at 400 ISO. But when you do it ISO 800, it takes like twice-ish as long-ish. So you have to like stand there for like 13 minutes shaking this stupid film up in order to develop the film with the developer. And so the photos didn't actually turn out too bad at all. I will say, right as I arrived at the museum, I realized didn't actually bring the shutter release thing. I spent like probably $10. I think it's still up, buying a shutter release thing. So basically you stick it into the shutter, and then you push the button and it will take the photo without actually pushing the shutter on the camera. Let's see here. Okay, I have it right here. $10. JJC mechanical shutter release cable cord with lock. So the nice, yeah, so basically you don't have to, the thing is, like, when you push the shutter button, right, your action of pushing down that shutter can shake the whole camera, right? And there's no IBIS. There's no camera stable, you know, lens stabilization is this bad boy, right? You shake the camera when you're taking the photo, your photo is going to be shaken, you know, not stirred. And so I realized I forgot it. And I was like, well, we're in too deep, boys. So I went and just manually pushed in the button. Now, the photos don't appear that blurry at the very least. So I think we somehow got away with it for most of these. I didn't write it down, of course. Why would I write it down? But most of these photos were, I think, either 1 second or 2 second. I think a few of the photos were like half second because it was like really bright. But I tried to basically set it to 1 second or 2 second and then adjust my f-stop down as much as I could to try. And so it was twofold. One, I wanted as much depth as I could get. You know, most I wanted as much in focus as I could get in focus. One. Number two, which I realized was a great idea, is that if you, the longer your exposure, right, there was quite a few people there at the museum that day, and I didn't want people in my photo. And it is indeed true, the it did work. The longer exposures made it so the people are at the very least blurry, right? And so you don't really see them much. They're like faded ghosts almost, which is good because I wanted them to just be, you know, kind of people free. Now, the people are clearly still there, like they're in the photo, so it doesn't technically work, but I think it gives the effect that I want, where the actual airplane is sharp and the people are not. Now, as far as the panoramics go, those turned out surprisingly well. So I brought a tripod. I stuck the camera on the tripod for basically every shot. It'd be a nightmare not to use a tripod. I did look slightly ridiculous, but only slightly ridiculous. And I took two panoramic shots. One, I think, was... It might have been three shots, but I think it was two shots. And another one was three shots. And I basically panned to the left, took a shot where the body of the aircraft is on the right side of the frame, panned it to the middle, so the aircraft is in the middle of the frame, and then panned it to the right, so the aircraft is in the left of the frame. Body of the aircraft is in the left of the frame. And then I used Lightroom. I just, you know, clicked all three, said, yo, stitches at the panoramic, bam, got the panoramic. So it actually worked pretty flawlessly. Surprisingly, I've never actually done a panoramic like that before. And so I was actually pretty surprised and happy with the result. I believe with panoramics, the proper thing to do, there's like on nice lenses at least, there's like a little symbol on the lens, and you're supposed to mount the lens to the tripod so that the center, like the rotational center of the tripod is at that point on the lens. And it's something, I can't remember the exact thing, but it's like how the light intersects the lens, that if you take at that point, you won't have any parallax in your image. So if you put the mount the camera body at the center of the tripod as you move around, you'll basically have a little bit of parallax in it because it's not perfectly rotating around the center of the actual image, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a physicist. Anyways, I didn't worry about that. Didn't affect me. I'm assuming that only affects is that effect is probably only evident if you're taking humongous panoramics with like distant, like a mountain, probably. I don't know. More story is, didn't affect me. most of the photos actually turned out pretty decent. Some of the photos are a little iffy, especially because the light is kind of overtaking like the whole airplane just about because they're so bright and so harsh. It's almost like an oxymoron. They're very bright, they're very harsh, and yet they barely light anything. Let's see. Then towards the end, I guess there's some additional photos of a Speedway classic, a gas station. And then the sky, I took a photo of the sky to see how the sky would like kind of look, turn out and look. And let me tell you, it looks like a picture of a sky that's black and white. Don't know what to tell you on that one. Anyways, so the test turned out good enough. All I need to do now is just find a time when I'm not too busy and go out and take photos. It probably took like 3 hours to take these two rolls of film. So I'll probably need quite a bit of time. But I want to go out with the CineStill and take the photos. The problem with the CineStill is it's very expensive. I don't think I finished my thought on this. It's very expensive because I don't have the C41 chemicals. And I'm too lazy. I looked at the process, and it's very convoluted, way more convoluted, way more work to develop colored film over black and white film. I only have like 5 rolls of colored film to start with. So I'm probably just going to bite the bullet and just send them into the dark room to have them develop the CineStill. So I'll probably try to take, I think I have 4 rolls of CineStill 800. So I'll probably try to use 2 of them at the Air Force Museum, package them up, send them to the dark room. It'll probably be like, hopefully it's going to end up being $30 is what I'm hoping total, which is about $15 a roll. And I think it was $20 to buy the roll per roll. So it's going to end up being like probably $60, $70, which let me tell you, it's not worth it. The $70 is not worth that to get the photos. Now I may get the photos back and they blow me away. But if I had to pay $70 to get these black and white photos that I got, I would be very frustrated, I think. Because, I mean, they look okay. The black and white photos, they look okay, but they're not, like, crazy. Like, I bet you, I'm pretty sure I could have probably taken these exact same photos with my phone, applied a black and white filter, and with the exception of the ProMist filter does add something to the, you know, to the lights. But if you ignore the bokeh from the ProMist filter, I bet you that you probably could not, like, if I showed you 36 photos taken with my phone and I edited in Lightroom and I took 36 photos with the film camera with no ProMist filter and showed you the 2 photos and said, yo, one of these is taken with a film camera and one of these is taken with my iPhone. Which do you think is the iPhone? Which do you think is the Canon, you know, the film camera? And I honestly think that I could have gotten better results with my phone set to black and white. So there you go. Now, the difference, though, I think will come in with CineStill, because you just can't replicate that same color grading and halation and that kind of stuff with the CineStill versus the phone, you know. So I think so, but there's only one way to know, which is why I'm going to develop these 2 rolls, 1 to 2 rolls of CineStill, and then probably never develop CineStill again. But hey, I guess that's just what it is. If you haven't already, check me out on Instagram @TheLoganR. I would really appreciate it if you could check out some of the photos, maybe like a few, and give me a follow. It would really mean a lot. Now back to the episode. So I just wanted to quickly talk about some upcoming events that I will be attending and probably taking photos at. The Nextest event will be tomorrow afternoon. So if you're listening to this, you've probably missed me there. But Viral. It's a little esports gaming compound in the Dayton area. We'll be having a Halloween party, even a costume contest. So I'm planning on going out to that, take some photos there, some videos, hopefully having a good time. So after that, the next day, Sunday, I will most likely be at the Ohio Renaissance Festival for the second to last week. They're having the pumpkin versus watermelon contest, which will be at 5 p.m. Hopefully I can make it to 5 p.m. and I will get cool photos of that. That's the plan. It's going to happen Saturday. It's going to happen Sunday, but I'll be at Viral Saturday. So I'm going to be going there Sunday afternoon. Next week, I'll be at, probably once again, going to the Ohio Renaissance Festival Sunday. And that's going to be October like 30th. And I think from there, I have an event in November I'm going to go to. And I think after that, basically just, not going to go anywhere for the rest of the year. With the exception of the Christmas Yuletide. So the Ohio Renaissance Festival, in the last few years, I've had a Christmas Yuletide event. And basically, it's just the Ohio Renaissance Festival, but just Christmas themed for like, I think 3 weeks. I believe it's on a Friday, it's on a Saturday, except instead of a Saturday and a Sunday. I think it happens for like 5 weeks. So I'll probably go once, maybe twice, but probably once to that. If there's a day that's not terribly cold. And I think just like last year, I'll basically go into hibernation. And I don't really know if I'll take too many photos, too many videos until probably March, probably April, May. But we'll see. Maybe something crazy happens and I'll be taking tons of photos and tons of videos at tons of events. But there's not usually not a lot of events in like February, for instance. So I'll definitely keep my eyes out. There's nothing on my calendar, but that doesn't mean there won't be. So thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed, please consider sharing it with your friends. I'd really like to try and grow the podcast a lot more. If you haven't already, check me out on Instagram at @TheLoganR. And until next time, thanks.